But y'all forget that old school stuff. I like what these kids are doing, what he did before, he can do it again. That's good. I like that. That's cool. But don't forget that Do Lord stuff. Throw me some Do Lord in there every now and then. Listen, our preaching material is found in Psalms 34. Psalms 34, verses 1 through 7. I want us to read it together off of the screen. So they're going to pull it up on the screen, and we're going to read it together off the screen. Psalms 34, 1 through 7. Come on. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Come on and preach with me about let us exalt his name together. Let us exalt his name together. This is what we're going to be talking about for a few weeks. I urge you to read Psalms 34, 1 through 7 in your prayer and study time over these next few weeks. How many of you all know that God is still worthy to be praised? How many of y'all know God wants us to praise him? Now, maybe I'm the only one to figure this part here out. How many of y'all know you feel better after you praise him? The more I praise him, the better I feel. There are scholars who would suggest that David not only wrote this text, but he wrote this text with 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 13 in mind. 1 Samuel 21, 13 talks about how David was pretending that he was insane before King Abimelech. That is not my concern. That is probably the context of our text, and I urge you to take a look at that. What brings me here is we claim that one of the six values of our church is worship. In your bulletin, you see that we say that evangelism, edification, love, worship, community involvement, and excellence are our values. If it is our value, it looks like every now and then we ought to talk about this that we claim to be our value. It is my sincere prayer that God will use the power of preaching to help us improve in this area of worship. Now, the arching thesis, what we'll be talking about for these next few weeks, is that we should work on our worshiping of God. That's what we're going to be talking about. But today specifically, I want to talk about we should praise the Lord with personal commitment. Personal commitment. Now, here's the first thing I'm saying. To extol is to praise. To extol is to what?
Praise.
The word, the Hebrew word behind extol is barak. In the Strong's number system, this is number 1288, and it has been translated as bless. King James Version, New Revised Standard Version says bless. The Living Bible says praise. Give me a minute, let me read to you how these different translations have this text. The King James Version says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. The New Revised Standard Version says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. That's pretty similar. The Living Bible gets off the highway but stays in the neighborhood and says, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. That's so good to me, I want to read that part again. The Living Bible says, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of his glories and grace. I will boast of all his kindness to me. Get it good now. To extol is to praise, to brag on, to admire, to express how marvelous the object of our worship is to us. Now, historically, when you think about black churches, we have a beautiful history of having enthusiastic singing, praying, and preaching as part of our extolling, baroking, praising the Lord. Can I spend a minute here? Let me start off here with singing. Once upon a time, in black churches, it was not the choir who did all of the singing for us. We had what we call congregational singing. We had call and response. We had long and short metered hymns. We have not always had a band. We didn't have synthesizers. It wasn't until recently that we got these Hammond organs. We used to be so small-minded, we didn't even have drums and guitars in our church. But we've always understood that praise was for more than the choir, the preacher, and the deacons. Singing used to be the work of everybody in the congregation. That's why we called it congregational singing. It's the reason we used to have hymn books out in the pews. It was because everybody in the congregation would be singing the hymn that was in the hymn book. It used to be that all of us would sing. Now, we may not have always sung in harmony. We may have been messing up some of the words, but we used to sing. And the benefit of singing together on Sunday was when things got rough on Monday, we could normally get a piece of a song. Most of us never memorize all of the words to all of the verses of the hymn, but when things got a little rough, we could piece together blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. In the course of a week, we may not have been able to sing it as well as it sounded on Sunday morning, but we was able to grab a piece of a song in the course of the week. We did not outsource singing to the choir. The choir simply led us in singing. Once upon a time, praying and preaching almost sounded the same. We said almost jokingly that Deacon is going to preach on his knees this morning. It was a time when the pew would pray with the prayer leader. So Deacon would be praying, and the church of my upbringing, the deacons would kneel down and pray. We didn't have a sanctuary this large, so we didn't have the acoustic challenge that would present today. But Deacon would get down, and Deacon would give everybody the impression he had a direct connection with the Lord. He would talk to the Lord, and we didn't just sit back and watch Deke pray for us. We was praying for Deke to talk to God for us, that when Deke was praying, we were praying right along with him. I remember we used to have hour-long prayer meetings. Every week, the prayer meeting was 1 hour long, and there were many times that the hour was too short. People had issues that they wanted to be prayed for, and testimonies were so exciting and people had so much they wanted to talk about that it was not strange for prayer meeting to last for an hour and 10, hour 15 minutes. There have been times when it was an hour and a half. How embarrassing for us not to be able to fill 15 minutes up with prayer. Once upon a time, we would pray together. Once upon a time, the preacher didn't have to beg for an amen. He could stand flat-footed. He didn't have to be a master of gimmicks. He didn't have to be an oratorical genius. He could just tell the people of God about the word of God. And the people of God would say amen to the word. He didn't have to always holler. He could just say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And somebody would say, amen, I know that's right, Reverend. And somebody else would say, thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd. Once upon a time, there would have been no need to preach about a text like this because we behaved accordingly. But in this new church, this 2014 church, you got to take some time and talk about worship. Worship, Barak, praise time for the Lord is what we came here to do. This is not a time to come and simply observe the worship leaders. It's not what we came here for. It's not a time to just sign in and try to get some worship attendance credit. Some of us act like when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to present the Lord some records of how many times I've been to church, and the Lord's supposed to be impressed with some kind of attendance in worship service. We didn't come here for attendance credit. We came here to praise the Lord. Now the question becomes, do you behave as if you came here to praise the Lord? When I was a child, it was not strange for children to play church. Somebody would grab a ruler, a pencil, a cup, whatever they could find, and that became the imaginary mic. Somebody would holler in the mic and say, the Lord will make a way somehow. Everybody knew that he was talking, trying to act like Reverend. Somebody else would get up and they would talk real proper and over-exaggerate their auras. That was the announcing clerk trying to be overly proper. Somebody else would get down on their knees and they'd be hollering just like Reverend was hollering in the pulpit. That was deep, praying for the congregation. The children saw worship, and when it was time to mimic worship, they had something dramatic to present. This is my fear, that if we ask children to role play what they see in worship today, I'm mighty afraid that we would not be able to tell if the kids were mimicking worship or mimicking us sitting in the movie without popcorn. Our body language does not suggest we came to participate. Our body language suggests we came to spectate. Just like in the movie, you didn't go to the movie to go jump up on the stage. You came to kick back. That's what you paid your little few dollars for, and you got popcorn. So you chilling, watching the screen, eating popcorn. Well, about the only difference between some of y'all posture between movie and church is you don't have the popcorn. To extol is to praise. In this part, I move now. This part of the sermon, I warn you, gets personal for me. The next part is the Lord is the object of our praise. I think we really, really, really miss this part. I think y'all spend way too much time looking at me and too little time looking at the Lord. That's the only explanation for such a dead, dry experience. You're tired of trying to impress me. I'm tired of trying to impress you. We can't possibly be thinking about God in worship and fall asleep in worship. That's impossible. Now, you can fall asleep on a boring, redundant show, but you can't fall asleep on the goodness of the Lord. And I thought this was noteworthy because David does not say, I'm just going to extol at all times. But he announces the object of his praise. He says, I'm going to extol, I'm going to barak, I'm going to praise the Lord. Now, you would have to understand in Hebrew, when you see the word the Lord as opposed to the phrase God, what the translators are trying to get us to see is that the Lord is normally a reference to Jehovah. God is a reference to Elohim. Jehovah, to a Jew, was their personal God. It was the God of their experience. Elohim was the God of the universe, the one that sits high, look low, take care of everything. But Jehovah was the God who dried up the Red Sea, dried up the Jordan River. It was their personal God. For David, the Lord was the one who took him from watching his daddy's sheep to being the king of God's people. The Lord was the one who gave David victory with that giant called Goliath. The Lord was the one who kept David safe when Saul was chasing him around the countryside. The Lord was the one who kept David safe when he was in the presence of Abimelech, pretending to be insane. The Lord was personal for David, and it was the Lord to whom David gave and aimed his praise. And I remind you that the Lord is the object of our praise. Christian worship is not a time to praise the preacher. It's not a time to praise the choir. It's not a time to praise the church. It's not a time to simply engage in religious entertainment and escapism. It's not a time to try to out-sing, out-dress, out-church one another. Christian worship is a praise the Lord situation. Now, while I'm here, I think I ought to tell you, praise is not in denial of pain. Praise is not blind. Praise sees bills that are overdue. Praise feels arthritis in your body. Praise knows about the heartache of supposed close friends abandoning you in your time of need. But praise decides to focus on the Lord instead of the pain. Praise is aware of mounting tension around the Ukraine. Praise heard the report that we lost a whole plane full of passengers. Praise hear and see how many of our black men are locked up in jail and how many are on the way and how little black men in church do about black men on their way to jail. Praise is aware of all of the above, but chooses to focus on the Lord instead of on the pain. Now, can I just tell you that the Lord is still worthy to be praised? I mean, and you don't have to go back no 20, 30 years. Let's just talk about what he's done lately. I mean, lately, he had food on your table. And that don't sound like a whole lot until you think about how there are tens of millions of people who went to bed hungry on last night. Here lately, the Lord has allowed you to put on clean clothes on your back. While others who have lived holier than you've lived got on dirty, stinking clothes that they have been wearing for weeks. When you went to sleep, you had a shelter over your head. But tens of millions of people around this world went to sleep in little shanty shacks Stuff you wouldn't even want to put your dog in. Your dog house look better than what many people sleep in on a regular basis. You don't have to go back 20 years to find something that makes God Barack worthy. I think you ought to Barack him for what he did in the last 24 hours. And then you can praise him for what he's doing right now. Right here, right now, the Lord is keeping our hearts beating, our lungs breathing, our mind functioning. If you knew what it took to keep your lungs breathing, your heart beating, and your brain functioning, you'll be afraid to move. But the reason we can move is because God monitors our life support system. I wish I had a witness up in here. What is God doing for us right now? Right now, he's keeping enough oxygen in the atmosphere. He's keeping deadly germs from destroying our body. What is he doing right now? Right now, he's keeping our minds in the midst of so many temptations to be depressed, to be filled with anxiety, to be filled with anger. Somehow he gives us joy on the journey. Sometimes he gives us peace in the midst of the storm. That through it all, he gives us hope that goes beyond what we can see. And he's doing all of that right now. Right now. He gives us an opportunity to press reset on our life. No matter how jacked up your life is, right now, you can tell the Lord, I'm sorry. It's me, I'm standing in the need of prayer. You don't have to wait until next week, right here, right now. You can tell the Lord, I confess my sins to thee. And the book said that he's faithful, he's just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all of our iniquities. You don't have to wait for something spectacular to happen right now. The opportunity is extended to press reset on your life. No matter how jacked up your life is, no matter how much you've messed up your life, God gives you the opportunity right now to make this the first moment of the rest of your life. And that's not all. And then he's worthy to be praised because of his promises. Now, if we were actually having a praise service, I would have to take a nap right here. Because I would have wore myself out thinking about what he's done for me in the past. And then I probably would have been able to take a sip of water and talk about what he's doing right now. But if you want an extensive discussion about the promises of God, then I need to take a nap because it's quite a list of what he has promised. Can I just peek at the list? I want to just peek at the list. These are just a few of the promises of God. Come on, walk with me now. Psalms 37, verse 1 through 3 says, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Somebody hold my mule. I feel a shout coming on here. You don't have to act a fool with fools in your life. Just do good and trust God. And the Lord has a way of making your enemies dry up like green grass. You don't have to lower yourself and fight with them. They will just die out. I got to keep moving. Here's another promise. Psalms 23 verse 6 says, goodness and love or mercy will follow me all of the days, all of the nights, all of the afternoons, all of the mornings of my life. Goodness and mercy everywhere I go. Goodness and mercy keep on following me. Now I'm a little embarrassed. I'm a little embarrassed because they have followed me in places I should not have gone. But I'm thankful they did not abandon me. They did not let my shortcomings make them renege on the promise. They followed me. They followed me to Buffalo. They followed me to Syracuse. They followed me to Dayton. They followed me to Cincinnati. Everywhere I go, every time I turn around, goodness is on one side and mercy is on the side. When I get up, they get up. When I lay down, they lay down. When I eat, they eat. Goodness and mercy. That's why I barack him so much. He keeps his promises. I heard him say in Hebrews 13:5, God will never leave me nor forsake me. Do you know some Negroes are going to leave you? There's some African Americans that promise you, I got your back. I'm going to be with you through thick and thin. Baby, we just like that. Let a little breeze come in your life and watch. Baby, they will leave you. Don't you believe all that? Don't you believe all that? People will say one thing when they got money in their pocket, but when no money gets funded, it's all together, different ball game. But the Lord, unlike the people in your life, the Lord, when he promised, I'll never leave you. First of all, he knows how long forever is. Nobody in your life know how long forever is. God said, I'm going to be with you forever. I'll never leave you. And then, Revelations 21 verse 4 talks about how the Lord will wipe all of my tears away. And I got to keep moving through here because this part makes me misty when I think about how many tears I've had to share. And you got to understand how much it takes to make a man cry. But the Lord will wipe all of my tears away. And then, he promised in Romans 8:28 that all things are working together for good for those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Now, I don't know what good God has in plan, but if it includes family members getting saved and growing in the Lord, it may include somebody getting gainful employment or profitable business. It may mean good, may mean a healthier body, a more stable mind. The good that God plans may be loving and supportive relationships. I'm not sure. I hope that good includes a church that has an earned reputation for love, for community involvement, and for excellence. I don't know the details, but I trust this promise that God is working all things out for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. He's worthy to be baracked. He's worthy to be extolled. He's worthy to be praised. He's already done so much for us. He's doing so much for us now, and the best is yet to come. How embarrassing it is to hear people say, I used to praise the Lord. That's about the stupidest thing I've heard. I used to praise the Lord. What do you mean you used to praise the Lord? Did the Lord used to be good to you? How did you stop praising the Lord? You stopped praising the Lord because they stopped singing your song? Your song, your praise was based on song? Your praise ought to be based on the Lord. You ought to be able to praise him in season and out of season. You make me wonder, did you ever praise him? When I hear you used to praise him, as if to say you're not praising him now, it causes my mind to wonder, did you ever praise him? Or were you just doing church exercises? Did you praise him Have you exchanged worship for entertainment? Has your seniority given you a false sense of entitlement? You hold your praise hostage in exchange for control of the playlist. You only praise him when we sing the song you like to hear. And when you don't, when we sing something you don't like to hear, you sit there like a bump on the log. You hold your hostage praise because we're competing over who's going to control the remote control. It's tight, but it's right. This "I used to praise him" crowd makes me wonder, does God have to send pain into your life so he can get praise from your life? You know, the Lord can get a praise out of you. You can't find nobody that know how to praise like somebody who think they get ready to die. Let the doctor tell you, you only got 3 months left to live, and you'd be surprised. The quietest person, the shyest person up in here will learn how to praise him, because you're trying to get some shouting credit in before judgment comes. Does the Lord have to send pain in order to get praise out of your life? I move along now to the third and final piece for today. Not only did I want to tell you that to extol is to praise, not only did I want to tell you that the Lord is the object of our praise, I come to the close now by telling you that praise calls for personal commitment. Praise calls for personal commitment. This is the third major thing I've said here. Praise calls for personal commitment. The text says, not we will extol the Lord. That's not what the text says. The text says, I will extol the Lord at all times. It says his praise will always be not on our lips, but they will be on my lips. He doesn't talk about what the choir and the priests are going to do. He says, I will glory in the Lord. Do you see how personal that is? Family, you and I have to make up in our minds that no matter what happens, we are going to praise the Lord when we are in, especially, the worship experience. You can't build your praise based on what you see other people around you doing. You got to make up in your mind that if you make it to the praise service, even if you got to praise them all by yourself, you are going to praise the Lord. You got to get there. You just have to get there. And listen, let me tell you, you got to come here already prayed up. You can't get here and expect somebody going to hype you up in song, hype you up in prayer, hype you up in preaching. We might be having a dry Sunday, and you waiting on us to hype you up, you might not ever get hyped up. But if you learn how to hype your own self up based on what the Lord has done in your life, then you can always have good worship. Your worship don't have to be based on what did the choir sing, what did Reverend preach. You ought to be able to have a praise service all by yourself. Because after all, the church is the people. It's not the chairs. The chairs are never going to praise the Lord. This podium is never going to praise the Lord. In order for the church to be committed to praise, the people who make up the church got to be committed to praise. It takes commitment. Isn't that a strange word for worship? Committed to praise the Lord. I know we can't talk about it right now because we got to act like we understand and obeying what I'm talking about. But just think about that. Committed to praise. Duty bound to praise. Most of y'all think you only praise him when you feel like it. That's why you don't feel bad when you sit there like a bump on the log. I'm grown. I don't feel like praising him. They don't take all that. I ain't on it like that. I'm grown. In spite of that lie we tell every first Sunday, we're going to sustain the worship, discipline, and ordinances of the church. You know what that means for many of us? Absolutely nothing. Just some nice stuff to say. In spite of David's example of a commitment that I'm going to praise the Lord no matter what happened, most of us think we only feel our praise is based on, do I feel like praising? So if somebody get up to sing and you don't like that person, you'll sit there as if they ain't doing nothing and don't even feel bad about it. Because your praise was never based on a commitment to praise. It was always based on, do I feel like praising? So what triggers an amen is, do I feel like saying amen? It's not, does God deserve an amen? It's not, does God deserve a praise? It is, do I feel like praising? And if the answer to feeling is no, then the answer to praise is no. And you know what's worse than that? You may learn it from the leadership. If the leadership is not committed to praise, then what make you think the pew is going to be committed to praise? If leadership and pew don't praise, who else is in here? If the leaders don't praise and the members don't praise, who else is in here? It is a commitment to praise. And the reason you can be committed to praise is because God is worthy to be praised. Whatever put those deep wrinkles in your forehead is not the goodness of the Lord. Whatever got you stand up late at night is not the goodness of the Lord. Whatever make you think I don't feel like praising him right now, it does not have the goodness of the Lord in the picture. The only thing that distracts us from praise is we took our eyes off the Lord. When I think about bills that need to be paid, I don't feel like praising. When I see student loan documents in my mailbox with my daughter's name on them, I don't feel like praising the Lord in that season. When I wake up and I got arthritis in my neck and I gotta stretch my neck so I can have mobility in my neck, that don't feel good at 47 years old. That's some 67-year-old type stuff there. 47, I'm supposed to just be able to jump out of the bed. Don't feel like praising him when you got family drama to deal with. You don't feel like praising him. But thank God when we grow up, we don't have to feel like praising him. We praise him no matter what. That's what the Living Bible says. I'm going to praise him no matter what. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 through 16, talks about giving God the sacrifice of praise. Psalms 29 and verse 2 talks about giving God the honor, the glory that is due his name. Could you imagine how you would feel if you had worked for your job? You put your 40 hours in this week. You did everything they told you to do. It's payday now. You go to get your check. And they talking about they don't feel like paying you. I can look at y'all and see praise the Lord was not the first thing that came to your mind. Well, I have to wonder what goes on in the mind of God after he brings us through another hard week. I mean, I want you to think about how the Lord has given us breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks all week long. And now it's time to give the Lord some praise. And we sitting up in here talking about, I don't feel like giving him the glory that is due his name. Every time you look up on that bloody hill of Calvary and see the blood of our big brother Jesus streaming down for you and for me. And then come to the sanctuary talking about, I don't feel like praising the Lord. I cannot imagine what goes through the mind of my God. When you look at the nail prints in his hands, and look at the hole put there by the spear, and then look at how hard it is to get saved people to say praise the Lord. The Lord must receive a little anger. I gotta close. But let me tell y'all, I made up my mind a long time ago that if nobody else praise my Lord, then I'll just go on and praise him on by myself. It would be marvelous if we could exalt his name together. But be clear, understand, get it right in your mind. No matter what you do, I'm going to praise him. You ought not to waste your time trying to make a motion, second emotion, entertaining unreadiness. My praise is not up to parliamentary scrutiny. You ought not think your dead, dry spirit is going to stop me from praising him. All I got to do is close my eyes so I don't see how dead and dry you are, and think about how good the Lord has been to me, and I'll just have church all by myself. Oh Lord, hear me. Yes, it sounds mighty nice to have Hammond organs and drums courting behind me. Let me tell you, family, I've had my best praise service driving up and down the street. I've had my best praise service walking through my house thinking about how good the Lord has been to me. I've had my best praise service sitting in my study trying to get my mind around the truths of the Lord. So get the questions clear in your mind. This question is being raised. Will you praise the Lord with me? I want you to get the question right. The question is not, am I going to praise him? I'm going to praise him no matter what y'all do. I'm inviting you to come join me in extolling, in baroquing, in praising the Lord, who's been so good, who is so good, who will be better. He's worthy He worthy. He worthy. Yes, he is. Whether you're on the mountain or whether you're in the valley, whether you feel good or whether you feel bad, he worthy. He worthy. He worthy. He worthy. He worthy. Worthy to be praised. Can I get a witness? Can I find a witness? Anybody here know there's power in praise? Anybody here know there's power in praise? The more you praise him, the better you feel. If you got depression, if you got anxiety, if you got anger management issues, try praise. Try praise. Try praise. The more I praise him, the better I feel. You live beneath your privilege to come to a praise service and never praise the Lord. That just don't make no sense to me. I don't understand why you would come to a worship service, spend 2 hours out of the middle of the day, and never praise the Lord. I mean, if you think watching the service is something, you ought to try participating in the service. I mean, if it thrills you to see me sweat and hear the choir sing, you try doing your own song. You try hollering about the goodness, shouting about his goodness. I dare you to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You'll feel so much better. I said you'll feel so much better. And let me help you, family, as I close. You can't wait for others to cue you about when to praise. You can't wait for other people to stand up or give you the nod, or when they wave your hand, you're gonna wave your hand. These people might be constipated. They may never stand up and praise the Lord. So you holding up your praise because somebody constipated. You gotta learn how to praise the Lord if you gotta do it all by yourself. When you think about how good the Lord has been to you lately, you ought to be tired when you leave church. Your voice ought to be raspy from hollering about how good he has been. I dare you to start worshiping God in the worship service. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today is a good day to come and say, yes, Lord. If you know you need the Lord in your life, if you know you need to come, get yourself in church. We invite you to handle this now. My brother, my sister,
praise him.
You ought to step out in the aisle and come on right now.
Praise.